Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Kuf Tes. We left off on Daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page of Daf Kuf Ches Amid Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Lezecher Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, La Shalom, the Neshama should have an Aliyah. It's also sponsored anonymously in gratitude for the fourth birthday of Nava Gavriela, Bas Naomi Tova. She should continue to have much success and good health, and we thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, as we pointed out, the 13th parak of Maseches Ksubos is sort of built on a series of Piskei Halacha from the Shnei Dayani Gzeros in Yerushalayim, Admon and Chana ben Avishalom. So there are two statements of Admon, and then seven statements of Chana ben Avishalom. So what we're going to do today is, as we continue through these Mishnayos, we're up to the third of Admon, of the things that that Admon said. So the first thing we'll discuss today that Admon said is, it relates to a case where a Kala's father made certain financial commitments, and he's unable or unwilling to meet those commitments. So what is that? How do we handle such a situation? The Gemara is then going to discuss how we paskin in all of the Mishnayos where Rabban Gamliel says Roa Ani es Divrei Admon, because of the seven cases where Admon talks about, Rabban Gamliel says Roa Ani es Divrei Admon in three of them. So do we only paskin like those three? Do we paskin like all seven? Well, how exactly do we paskin in those cases? Then the next Mishnah is going to discuss the fourth statement of Admon, and that's going to discuss a case where someone comes and says, you know, that field that you have was stolen from me. And the Nitva says, what are you talking about? You signed on a shtar that that relates to this field, and the shtar identified it as my field. Why would you serve as an aide on a shtar for this field, if not for the fact that you're moda that it belongs to me? So the Gemara is going to discuss to what extent an apotropos has similar claims to the original Bailim if the original Bailim dies. And then the next Mishnah, Amud Beis, is going to be the fifth statement of Admon, and that's going to discuss someone who doesn't remember which path he owns in somebody else's field. Meaning, I know that my field is surrounded by other fields, but I have to have access. So I definitely owned a path, but I just don't remember which path I own. So how do we handle that situation? What do we give him? What sort of taina does he have? Does he have to buy a new path in someone else's field? The Gemara is going to have two different stories that it thinks relates to that machlokas. So let's begin now with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Kuf Chesam Beis. It says the Mishnah, Posik Mosle Chasano, if a father-in-law agrees to give a certain amount of money as an adunya to the son-in-law, Upashat Lo Asaregel. Upashat Lo Asaregel is the Hebrew term nowadays for bankruptcy, right? So a person is Pashat Lo Asaregel. He tines that he's not, either he doesn't want or he's not able to meet his commitments. Rashi says either in two ways. Either the Avia Kala says to the Chasan, Tol Tit Sha'al Raglai, which is the Lashon of Bizayon, take the dirt off of my feet, meaning that's what you could get from me, you're not going to get anything else from me. Or Tala Osi Baragli Al Eitz Ve'ini Malas Islach, or you could hang me on a tree by my feet and I'm still not going to be able to give anything to you. So the Pnei Yeshua explains that those are two different things. The first pshat is that I have nothing, so you could try to get the dirt off my feet. The second pshat is I'm not willing to give anything. Even if I do have, I'm not willing to give anything to you. But in either event, so Teshev Achital Ben Rosha, the Kala stays in Aguna, meaning this is a case where they didn't get married yet, they didn't have Nisuin yet. So the halacha is that the husband doesn't have to marry her if the father's not meeting the commitments that he had promised, and she would sit as Aguna Achital Ben Rosha until she becomes gray-haired, and the chasana doesn't have to marry her, nor does he have to give her a get until the Avia Kala meets his obligations. Admon Omer, Admon says, no, Yechali Yishat Omer, the girl, poor girl, she could say to the chasan, Ilu ani pasakti la'atzmi, if I would have been the one to make the commitment, Eshev Achatal Ben Roshi, so then I would have to live with the ramifications, with the repercussions of my actions, and that would make sense, that I would be sitting as an aguna. But Achshav Sha'aba Pasak, but my father decided to make a commitment, Ma'ani yuchalu lasos, what am I supposed to do to make sure about the fact that my father doesn't want to meet his commitments? So Oknos, Opet star. So either marry me and, you know, you'll deal with the fact that you're not going to have as much money as you thought you would, or give me a get and we'll go our separate ways. But you have no right to make me an aguna. So Amram Gamliel, Rava Ani Estivri Admon. Amram Gamliel says, what Admon says is much more logical over here. I agree with the Shita of Admon. Now the Rama writes in Ibn Ezra and Simon Nun Beis that this whole discussion, even the Shita of the Chachamim, that she's Teshivat Shetal Ben Rosha, that she'll be an aguna, is only Lifnei HaNisuin. But La'achar HaNisuin, if they've already had Nisuin and the father still hasn't met his financial commitments, there's no doubt that the husband is absolutely obligated to meet all of the requirements of that a Baal has, Le'ishto, that a husband has to his wife. He cannot say, well, I'm not going to give Sherksos Va'ona until your father gives her the money that he said he was going to give Benadunya. No, once there's marriage, the nature of Jewish marriage is such that you are signing on for an absolute commitment, an absolute obligation. So once they are married, he is absolutely signed on. I heard Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz in an interview I was just listening this morning, that he said the ksuba is very one-sided, meaning that's the way it's supposed to be. You are absolutely obligated to provide those things regardless of what is being provided back. That's Rav Asher Weiss, always quotes from his mother. He said his mother used to say that, I know why the ksuba was written in Aramaic, because you want the kalas not to understand what it says in there, but I know the obligations that it says in there, that you're supposed to support us. Okay, so that's what the Rama says. Once you're married, then there's no walking that back. There's no pattering yourself from any of these obligations. The Achronim have a whole deal over here. If the husband could be Megarish Esishto Bal Korcha La Acher Chayim Drabeinu Gershom in this case, meaning the they're married, so you're allowed to get divorced, but can he be Megarish or Bal Korcha when the father didn't meet his financial commitment? One of the Chayim Drabeinu Gershoms is that you're not allowed to be Megarish Yisho Bal Korcha. It's a question, were you ever really allowed to be Megarish Yisho Bal Korcha? Rav Shachter often points out that probably not. It doesn't seem like a very nice thing to do. So probably it was always us. Some of the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom's are things that they made a Chayim about, that Rabbeinu Gershom made a Chayim about, that were already us, but he just needed to give a little more teeth to it in order to make it. Probably was never mutter to read somebody else's mail, right? So Rabbeinu Gershom just made a Chayim about it, made it a more serious thing. So Shachta always gives this as an example also of being Megarish Yisho Bal Korcha. But anyway, the Achronim discuss that maybe there's a hetzer to be Megarish Bal Korcha if the father didn't meet the financial commitment. So that's a discussion in the Achronim. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Masnisin Deloki Aitana. Our Mishnah seems to be against the following Brisa, because the Brisa reports the same what seems like the same Achlokes between Admon V'Chachamim, but in a totally different way. Titanya Amar Bios Rabbi Yudo Lo Nechluku Admon V'Chachamim Al Posik Mosle Chasano Pashalos Regel. There is no Machlokes between Admon V'Chachamim about a father-in-law who makes a commitment and then is unable to meet that commitment. Sheyuchali Yishetomer Abba Pasuk Laimani Yichol Lasos. For sure, the Kala is allowed to say that my father's one that made the commitment, what do you want from me? Even the Chacham agree that the Kala has such a taina and that you can't leave her in Aguna. Al Manechluku, you know what the case they argue about is? Al Shepaska, he, Al Atzma, that she's the one that made the commitment, not that the father became Chayiv in this commitment. Tosa Rush writes, and we're talking over here, where she made such a commitment in the presence of her father. Shechacham Momer, the Chacham say, in such a case, Teshivat Shetal Mosh, if she doesn't meet her commitment, so let her stay in Aguna. And Admon Omer, Yechali Shetomer, and Admon says that even when she made the commitment, she could have a Taina, that Kasvura Ani Shabanosin Alai. There is a reason I made the commitment in the presence of my father, because I thought that daddy would take care of it, that he'd write the check that would honor my commitment. But Vachshav Shein Abanosin Alai, where am I going to get the money from? Ani Yechal Lassos. I just thought that for sure my father would want to. Would want to support my son-in-law, would want to give a nice nadunya. And he was there and he didn't say anything, so I assumed that he would live up to, but now what do you want me to do? So okinoso patur, so either marry me or give me a get. So Rav Gamliel, Rav Ani Estivri Admon. And on that, Rav Gamliel says, Rav Ani Estivri Admon, that even in that case where she's the one that made the commitment, she has the ability to make a taina that you either got to divorce me or marry me. So the Gemara brings a brisa that explains which case that's talking about. So Tana Bamed it's a qualification on the brisa we just quoted. When do we say that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, this brisa that the Chum say that the Chassan could be ma'agin the Kala, that's only begadola, that's only if the Kala is a gadola, she's a bogeres, then her Tanai is a binding Tanai, so the Chassan could say, you made a commitment, you have to live up to the commitment, and I'm not doing anything until you live up to that commitment. But if the girl is a Katana, So the, whatever tonight she makes is irrelevant. So then kofin. Then we were for sure going to force. So kofin leman. What do you mean force? Force what? So ilema, if it means la'av, that we're going to force the father to meet that commitment. Ipchami bayle. No, why would you force a father to meet a commitment that was made by a katana? A commitment made by a katana doesn't mean anything. So it would be the opposite. You should force him to honor a commitment made by a gadola. Ela merava says no. Rava says it means kofin lebal itim get. That in such a case, the bride means to say that in the case where she's a katana, we force the husband to give a get or to marry her, and he can't say that the tanai wasn't mukim, because the tanai of a katana is not something that's binding. So now the Gemara says, okay, so what's the halacha? We have this machlokas between Admon and the Chamim, two versions of the machlokas between Admon and the Chamim, and we have Rami Gamliel saying in each version, Roa ani es divrei Admon. So Rami ben Elazar mishmei dechizka kol makom shem Rami Gamliel Roa ani es divrei Admon halacha kamoso. Whenever Rav Gamliel says Roa ani es divrei Admon, that's a sure sign that we pass like him. So Amar Rav Rav Nachman, afilu bebraisa, is that only in the Mishnah, or is that even in the Braisa that Rav Gamliel says? Meaning, even when the Kala makes her own commitment, we still say she doesn't have to live up to it, and the husband is going to okinos o patari, still going to have to either give her a get or marry her or marry him. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara's question over here. That the Gemara is asking, in our Braisa, are we saying that even in our Braisa that we pass like Admon? Meaning, of course. We're going to pass on the Gadmon in our Mishnah, but do we say even in our Braisa that we pass on the Gadmon? Tosa says, how could it be that we pass on the Gadmon in both the Mishnah and the Braisa? They're a stira to each other. The Mishnah says that the Kala could say, Ilu ani pasakti la'atzmi, Eshe vachetal ben Roshi. That in the way the Mishnah said it, the Kala could say, look, had I made the commitment, of course I would be an Aguna. But then the Braisa goes and says that according to Admon, if she makes the commitment, she still is not an Aguna. She still you can force the husband. So how can it be that you're paskin like Admon, both in the Braisa and the Mishnah? So Tosa says, no, of course we don't paskin like both the Braisa and the Mishnah. It's just that the Tana, according to the Tana of the Mishnah, the Halacha is like Admon in the Mishnah, and according to the Tana of the Braisa, the Halacha is like Admon in the Braisa. Meaning, what we mean to say is that there is a klal in halacha that we paskin like. Whenever Rav Gamliel says Roa ani es divrei Admon, we paskin like him, and you just have to figure out which version of the machlokas between Admon and the Chabim you're going to go with, whether it's the Mishnah's version or the Braisa's version. But whichever one you go with, you know that you're going to paskin like the sheet of Admon. The Ran understands that Rav is not talking about this Braisa at all, because the Braisa is so said the Mishnah. Of course, we're not going to paskin like Admon in the Braisa, because we paskin like Admon in the Mishnah, and Itaki is a stira. What the Gemara is asking is, in general, if you were to find other brisos that where Rav Gamliel says Roa ani es divrei Admon, in such a case, would you say that we go with the klal that we paskin like Rav Gamliel when he says Roa ani es divrei Admon? The Ramban works on figuring out how Rashi could make sense, how it could be that we paskin like Admon both in the brisa and in the Mishnah, and he says that the brisa and the Mishnah are only disagreeing within the sheet of the Chacham; they're not really disagreeing within the sheet of Admon. So what Admon says in the Mishnah, that if she would say, if I was Posekas Alatmi, if I was the one that made the commitment, I would be in Aguna, it just means that she's saying that if after my father died, or if I would have made the commitment for my own Nechasim, meaning that's why we said that the case was she made the commitment in her father's presence, where she had an expectation that her father would back her up. But if she made a commitment in a way where she had no expectation that her father would back her up, then Taka, she'd be in Aguna. That's the case that the Mishnah was talking about. The Bryce was talking about that she made a commitment that she assumed her father would be taken care of. In such a case, she would not be in Aguna. So anyway, Amar Leh, Mika Amrinan B'Mishnah. Well, did we say the klal is that we only paskin like Admon in the like Ram Gamliel when he says Ra needs to be Admon in a Mishnah? But Kalmakam Sham Ram Gamliel Kamrin. We said wherever he says it. So it's in a Mishnah or in a Braisa. So now the Gemara says, so what is the Psak Halacha in all of the other machlokos between Admon and the Chachamim, and also in the machlokos between Chanon and the Chum that we started the parak with? Meaning, we've just discovered that in these three last Mishnayos where we had Roa ani es divrei Admon, that Rav Gamliel says Roa ani es divrei Admon, good, now we know that we paskin like Admon in those cases. But the whole parak has first two machlokas between Chanan and the Chachamim, and then we have four more machlokas between Admon and the Chachamim where Rav Gamliel doesn't say Roa ani es divrei Admon. So how do we paskin in all those cases? So Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Bar Yirmiyah, Shnei Dvarim Sha'amar Chanan, the two things that Chanan said where he disagrees with Chanan, Alacha Kiyotzebo, we're passing like him. Shiva Dvarim Sha'amar Admon, Ein Alacha Kiyotzebo. The seven things that Admon disagrees with Chanan, we don't passing like him. Meaning we don't passing even like Rabbi Gamliel, who's Machriya like Admon. So it sounds like Rabbi Zeir is saying that we don't passing like Rabbi Gamliel against what Chizkiya just said. So Maika Amar, so what do you mean by that? If what Rabbi Zeir meant to say is as follows, that Shnei Dvarim Sha'amar Chanan Alacha Kiyotzebo, that we pasken like the two things that Chanan said, we pasken like him and like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who had agreed with him. And the seven things that Admon said, we don't pasken like Admon, nor like Rabbi Gamliel, who agrees with him. But that goes directly against what we just said, which is that wherever Rabbi Gamliel says Ro'ani Yisrael Admon, we do pasken like him, and it's not so mistaver that Rabbi Zeru would disagree with that which Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar says in the name of Chizkiya. Why is it not so mistaver? They're both Amoraim. Why can't Rabbi Zeru disagree with Chizkiya? So the Shidum Gvetzes quotes Rashi in the Madura Kamea that Chizkiya was a very early Amora. He was the son of Rabbi Chiya, the Talmud of Rabbi, and he was a Gavar Rabba, and probably they wouldn't have argued. So probably since Rabbi Zeru wouldn't argue on him. So Elohachi Kapra. So this is what Rabbi Zeru means to say. Shnei Dvarim Shamar Chan and Elach Kamoso Uka Yotzebel. The two things that Chanan said, we passed like him and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who agreed with him. Shiva Dvarim Shamar Admon, Ein Alach Kayotzebo. The seven things that Admon said, we don't paskin like Kayotzebo, meaning like Rabbi Gamliel, who only paskin like him in three matters and not in the other four. Hakamoso Halacha Bekulu. But we do paskin like Admon in all seven of those things, meaning Rabbi Gamliel said, I only agree with Admon in three of them. We agree with Admon in all seven. So that doesn't go against the klal, because the klal is that we passing like Rabbi Gamliel whenever he says Ro'ani is the Admon. True, we also passing like Admon in the four places Rabbi Gamliel didn't say Ro'ani is the Admon. I but Vam Rabbi Yisrael Melazim Shmeid Chizkiya Kol Makom Shem Rabbi Gamliel Ro'ani is the Admon Lach Kamoso Amar In Lo Amar Lo. But isn't the implication of saying that whenever Rabbi Gamliel says Ro'ani is the Admon that we passing like him, doesn't that imply that whenever Rabbi Gamliel doesn't say Ro'ani is the Admon that we don't passing like him? Ela Hachi Kamer. So this is what Rabbi Zeira must have meant. The third possibility. Shnei Dvarim Shamar Chanan Alacha Kamoso Kiyotzebo. I don't know why we keep coming back to that. That doesn't change. The two things that Chanan said, we passing like him and we passing like Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who agreed with him. Shiva Dvarim Shamar Admon. The seven things that Admon said, Yesh Bihan Shalacha Kamoso. Sometimes we'll pass like him and Rabbi Gamliel, who agrees with him. And there are certain things that we don't pass like Admon, rather we pass like Rabbi Gamliel, who is not maskin with him. Meaning the other four things that Admon said, Rabbi Gamliel never said Ro'ani is the Admon, and therefore we go to Rabbi Gamliel, who did not agree with Admon in those cases. And what are these? Ro'ani is the Admon, halacha kamoso, inach lo. And therefore the way it breaks down is that the three cases where Rabbi Gamliel says Ro'ani is Divrei Admon, we paskin that way. The four cases that Admon spoke where Rabbi Gamliel does not say Ro'ani is Divrei Admon, we don't paskin that way. So speaking of those four cases, let's see what they are. So the next Mishnah talks about the fourth statement of Admon, and the first of the ones that Rabbi Gamliel doesn't say Ro'ani is Divrei Admon. Ha'orer al sada, the person has a taina on a field that someone else is in possession of, and he says, that field is stolen from me. V'hu chasam ala ba'ed, but the nitva tainas that you, the Toveya, signed as an aid on the document of sale for this field when I sold it to somebody. So meaning Reuven comes and says Shimon stole that field from me. Shimon has since sold it to Levi. When Shimon sold it to Levi, Reuven was one of the aiden on the shtar. So now Reuven's going to tell him that the field was stolen from him. Levi's going to say, why would you sign on the shtar if it was stolen from me? So Admon Omer, if it was stolen from me. So Admon Omer Hasheni Nachav. Rishon Kashemenu. Admon says that he can say that there's a reason I signed on the shtar, because I knew that I'll never get the field back from Shimon. He's a very tough guy. He would hold it up in court for the next 20 years and whatever. I would never be able to get it back from him. But you're a reasonable person, so I figured better to fight it out with you and to get it from you than to get it from the person who stole it from me. And that's why I signed the shtar. The Chum disagree. They say, no, by signing on that shtar, he lost his chus. I saw a similar la'acher ibed es chusa. But there's one case that everybody agrees, and that is if he made it a simen la'acher, meaning if the field was sold, the field next to it was sold, and whenever you sell a field, you have to mark its borders, so you have to define the borders of the field. So they say, oh, on this side is Reuven's field, on that side is Shimon's field, and on the south is Levi's field, and one of the fields that they identified the neighboring field with is the field of Shimon, and Reuven went and he signed that document, so that you don't have a taina of Arishon Kasha and Ania Sheni Noachli Arishon Kasha, and you can't say such a thing because you're signing on a document that has nothing to do with the field that was stolen, and that document just acknowledges that the stolen field belongs to the person who you claim stole it from you. So then for sure he's Ibed as Kluso by agreeing to be an aid on such a star, he loses his rights. It says Mar Amra by Elo Shanu Ella aid. That's only if you're an aid on such a star. Aval Dayon, but if he actually serves as a Dayon who's Mekayim the star, Lo Ibed as Kluso, then he does not lose his Zuchus in the field. The Tanya Rabbi Chia, Ein Eidim Chasman Al Shtar Elam Kin Karuhu. Eidim don't sign on a star unless they read the star first, and therefore you have a right to assume that if an aid signed on something, he knows the contents of the shtar. You know, often, if you're asked to be an aid ksuba at a wedding, so often the Masada Kedushin will say, "I'm not going to ask you to sign something that that you haven't read. Please go ahead, read it, and right, because an aid, that's the aid's responsibility." Usually, it's a form; they just filled in the names. You know, it's not no chidushim in the ksuba, but unless it's a Sephardic ksuba, then sometimes there are chidushim. But normally, so but you don't sign a shtar unless you know what it says in the shtar. But when dayanim are mekayim the shtar, all they really have to be mekayim is the signatures, that the signatures of the eidim are real, are legitimate, and that's all they need to know. So that's all they're testifying on. They don't care what the actual content of the shtar is. So they're not mechuyev to read the shtar. So the dayan could say, I had no idea what it said in the shtar. So I served as a dayan to be mekayim the shtar, to be mekayim the signatures of the eidim. That was not a hoda'ah that this field wasn't stolen from me. I didn't look at the shtar at all. So then the Mishnah said, I saw a simon la'acher, that if they used that field as a marker of a neighboring field in a shtar, and this guy signed the shtar, so ibed es chusa, we said. So Amar Abayi lo shanu elo la'acher. That's only when the nitva sold the field to another person and not to the toveya himself. Avaliatzmo, but if he sold the field back to the toveya, lo ibed es chusa, then the toveya does not lose his chus. Da Amar, because the toveya could say, idelo avdi lehachi, that if I would not have been willing to identify the neighboring field as the field that belongs to this guy who I think stole that field from me, love him as milin ali, he never would have sold me the neighboring field. Meaning, I know that I own field A and that Shimon stole field A from me. And because I know that I own field A, field B is in my best interest to own as well because it's a neighboring field. It happens to be Shimon owns field B. So I bought field B from Shimon. In the shtar that I was buying from the field B from Shimon, the language said that it's bordering on field A, which belongs to Shimon. So I was willing to sign the shtar because if I didn't sign that shtar, then there's no way that he would have sold it back to me, that he would have sold me field B. And I wanted to buy field B, but I wasn't giving up my rights to make a taina on field A just by acknowledging that language that we referred to the to field A as belonging to Shimon. So Ma'isa Chlemer, what are you going to say? That the Chasim is considered like a Hodah? Ibaile the Mimser Modah. So says Gemara, then you could say that you should have given him a Hodah. You should have let someone know before you signed it that, by the way, I'm about to sign the Shtar, which identifies field A as belonging to Shimon. I don't really think it belongs to Shimon. You should have told Adam in advance that when you're signing it, you don't mean that. So chaver chaver is like chaver 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 is like. No, you're worried about that because once you give a moda'a, that word may get back to Shimon that you gave such a moda'a, and then he's never going to sell you field B. So you don't want to take a risk, and that's why you didn't give a moda'a. So therefore, it's not considered to be an admission that the field doesn't belong to you when you identify the field as belonging to Shimon in a shtar that you buy the neighboring field with. If someone else buys the neighboring field and you sign on that shtar, ibed es chuso. But if you're the one buying the neighboring field and you sign on that shtar, then you're not ibed es chuso. So Huda saw a similar acher. So says the Gemara, A maisa. A person sold the field to somebody else, and he wrote in the shtar that this is right next to another field that belongs to him, and someone signed as an aid, and afterwards that aid came and irer, and he had a taina on the neighboring field that he says that it was stolen from him. And then shachiv, then the ma'arer died. The one who had the taina that it was stolen from him dropped dead. Va'okim apetropa, and before he died, he appointed someone to take care of his business affairs so that his yisomim are taken care of. Because as Yisom Margani Yarshin him, and he wants them to get every penny that they deserve to get. So as Apotropos Kameda Abaye, the Apotropos came to Abaye, again with the taina that field was stolen from the guy that I represent. It belongs to these Yisomim. So Abaye said to the Apotropos, I saw similarly Acher Ibid Esachuso. No, I'm sorry, there's a halacha that if this field was identified as Shimon's field in a shtar that Reuven himself signed, well then Reuven loses the rights to that field. Why did he sign a shtar that identified this field as belonging to Shimon? So the Apotropos said, you know, Iyava Abun the Yasmi Kayim, if the Yisom's father were alive, Havaton Vamar tell him Echad Asisilach. You know what he would say? He would say that we identified field A as belonging to Shimon, but how much of field A? You know, it's a humongous field. Maybe just one row, that first row that's right on the border, that's what belongs to Shimon. So when we identified field B in a shtar that was signed by Reuven, yeah, he was saying that it borders on that telemechal, on that one row that's on the border, that belongs to Shimon. But the whole rest of the field belongs to Reuven and therefore belongs to his Yisomim. So Amalei Shapokar, Mitzabai says, Taka, good point. That could be what he meant. We never identified the size of field A, so it could be that it's just one row. Because after all, Rabbi Yochanan says exactly that. That if a person comes with a taina and says that I only gave you one telem, then he's believed. So Abaye said, okay, but at the end of the day, ziv havli miyas telem echad. So you're entitled to take the rest of the field, but Shimon gets to keep a telem echad because based on your taina, he does own that. So havila richva didikli. It happened to be that telem echad was an extraordinarily valuable telem echad. There were all sorts of very, very expensive trees on that telem echad. And the apotropos didn't want to cost the Yisomim that telemechad. He didn't want to give it away. So Amrle, so the Apotropos said, what if the father were still alive and he would come in and say the following? Yes, I signed a shtar that identified that telemechad as belonging to Shimon, but then I repurchased it from him. I bought back that telemechad from him. So Amalei said back to him, Shapir Kamet, yeah, that would be an acceptable taina. Dam Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan said, Imtan va'amar, that if the ma'arer, the one who's making the claim that the field was stolen, comes back and he says, you know, after I signed that shtar, Chazarti lekachti bimenu, I went and I repurchased the field from him, so Neman, then he is believed, because Apesha Asar Apesha Yitter, the Zuchus of the nitva in that field is only based on the hoda'a of the toveya by signing on the shtar. So the toveya has the koach to be mevatel the zechus of the nitva with a taina, even though we don't know for sure that taina is true. So Rabbi says, by the way, when you're hiring an apotropa to take care of your yisomim, Rabbi is advertising this guy's business. This guy is the apotropa that you want. He knows how to come up with every argument. He knows how to leave no stone unturned to make sure that the Yisomim get the best possible deal. The question begs itself, though, the Rishonim ask, why did Abaye have to wait for the guy to make the taina? Each time the guy made a taina, Abaye didn't say, oh, I never thought of that. No, what Abaye said is, yeah, that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said. That's exactly what I learned from Rabbi Yochanan. Well, if you knew the whole time that's what Rabbi Yochanan said, well, Abaye, why were you willing to give away the field in the first place? So Tosfos writes, Abaye didn't remember that Rabbi Yochanan had said until the Apotropos reminded him. When the Apotropos said the taina, then Abaye says, oh, taka, I heard that once from Rabbi Yochanan, but he hadn't thought of it beforehand. Hard to imagine. I mean, we're talking about Abaye over here, that he just remembered at the moment when he's dealing mamish in this Indian, that he didn't look back at his notes and see what Rabbi Yochanan said. So the Tosa Rush says that it was the Chadid, the Apotropos. He wanted to test the Apotropos, see how good it was. And that's the end of the story. He said he was testing how good of an Apotropos it was. Of course he was going to give it to the Yisomim eventually, but he wanted to see if the Apotropos would know how to make the Tainas so that he could know who's a good Apotropos and who's a bad Apotropos, so he could inform people, this is a good Apotropos. So he's coming going to be mechadet the apotropos. Others say that not everything are we towing in liasmi. That when it comes to tainus of piraon, we're towing the yisomim because sometimes a person will pay something back and they won't be korea the shtar, or he'll trust the other party to be korea the shtar, or they'll pay back part of the chov. But when it's a taina of chazarti v'lakachti, that's a taina she'ina metzuya. How often does that happen? So that, you know, or telemechad also taina she'ina mukrachas, that really the whole field that you identified is just one telem, very unlikely. So in those kinds of things, even though you're allowed to come with such a taina, we're not torn in the yisomim on you know, automatically such a taina, and that's why Abaye didn't make that taina. Okay, so now we move on to the fifth thing that that Admon said. Says the Mishnah, Mishalach Medina Siyam, a guy went to Medina Siyam, and he knows that he owned a field, and that field was surrounded by other fields, and he knows that he used to have access to his field. He just doesn't remember how he had access to his field, which path he would take. So of the Derech Sadehu, so he lost it because he doesn't know. So who's he going to tain on? How could he say to any of his neighbors, you owe me a path? He doesn't know if they owe him a path. So Admon Omer, Yelech Lo B'Katsara. Admon says he can go in the, so I'm saying, of the Derech Sadehu, just a description of the case. He doesn't remember which path it was. So then what's the halacha? Admon Omer Yelech Lo B'Katsara. That picked the shortest path to the field, and that must be, that's all he can have a taina for, and that's what we give him. No, whatever the neighbors want to charge him for a derech, that's what he's going to have to pay. Or he could fly, you know, figure out something else, some other way to get to your field. But no one owes him anything. So says Gemara, my time with Rabbanan, why would Rabbanan meaning he had a path, so we know he had a path, so why not just give him the minimal path that he could have had, meaning assuming that it's all one neighbor that owns all the surrounding fields. So it's Reuven, it's Shimon, that's who the whole Din Torah is between. We know that Shimon owes Reuven a path, so you can't be Motzi Mechavero more than you know that he owes you, but he owes you a path, so give him the shortest path. It makes a lot of sense. So Reuven Rav, Kikon Shekifua, Arba B'nei Adam, Arba Baruch Sa, it's not one neighbor. He has Reuven has the field in the middle, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, you know, all these other people have fields all around him, and he doesn't remember who owns the field that he had a path in. If he knew who owned the field that he had a path in, then yeah, in a chenami, you'd give him the shortest path, but he doesn't remember. So says the Gemara, yep, that's too good of an answer. Ihachi my time at the Admon. But now, how do you explain Admon? Who are you going to force to give him the shortest path? Whoever happens to have the shortest path in his field is one that automatically has to lose. You know, Shimon will say, why should I have to give him a path? Levi might have been the one that he had a path in Levi's field, not in my field. So Rav explains, now the case of the machlokes between Admon and the Chum is the following. Barba da asumikoch arba, if you have four people that had purchased their four fields from four other people, or even if you have four people who are current owners of the neighboring fields that all bought the from one person, they all bought the field from one person, then everyone agrees that each of the balei asados that surround this field can say to the guy, your derech wasn't in my field, it was in one of the other fields that surround your field, and therefore even Admon would be moda that the Toveya cannot take even the shortest path. Ki pligi, when is there a machlokas, b'chada asi mikoach arba'a. In the case of one person that comes mikoach arba'a, that meaning there were four fields that surrounded the field of the Toveya, and they belonged to four different people. And then one person bought up all the real estate. So he bought up all the real estate in the neighborhood, except for that field in the center. So now there's only one person that you have a din Torah with. Meaning initially, when Reuven used to know where his path was, he had neighbors, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Dan, Naphtali, right? He was surrounded by all sorts of different people. But now, Big Gvir came, bought up all the other property around him, so now it's just him and this Big Gvir. So Admon says, Mikol Makom Darke Isli Gavach, that he could say, look, you are the owner of the place where I have my path, so give me a path. It could be the shortest path. For Rabbanan Sagrin, the Rabbanan say that, no, the guy could tain it back. The Gvir could tain it back. I shatakt, shatakt. If you want to be quiet about it, then not make a taina, then be quiet about it, and I'll give you a good deal. I'll sell you a path for a cheap price. But v'ilo, if you're not going to be quiet about it, madana shtar l'marayu. All I'll do is I'll return the shtaros back to the people who originally owned these fields, v'lo mitzlash yedina badayu, and then you'll have nothing. Then you're not going to be able to have any taina on them, because if you have four different different nitvaim, they could all be, everyone is moda. All the tanaim agree that the nitvaim could each be, push you off to the next guy, and no one's going to have to pay up. So, says Gemara, we have two similar cases that we think are comparable to our machlokas. So again, at the end of the day, the machlokas between Anmon and the Chamim in our Mishnah is very limited, right? Meaning it's not, when there are for sure four neighbors, you have no taina. When there's for sure one neighbor, you definitely do have a taina. It's only when you have currently one neighbor, but at the time that you're on the path, there are four neighbors. Right, that's where you have the whole machlokas. So there was a case as follows. Someone said to his children before he died, Dikla Lebras, I would like to give a dekel to my daughter. And then the rest of the Yerusha you guys could divide as a normal estate, a normal Yerusha. The boys can divide, but a dekel is going to my daughter. So Azul Yasmi, Palaglinichsev, Loyavala Dikla. The some went and they divided the whole estate and they never gave the dekel to the daughter. Now the daughter says, hey, you know, dad said I get a dekel. So Savra of Yosef Lemem, Rav Yosef thought, Hainu Mas Nisan, that's exactly the case of our Mishnah, because she doesn't know which brother is in possession of the dekel tree that belongs to her. So each brother could say, oh, it's the next guy. And according to the Chachamim, she would lose. She would lose, even though she knows she's owed a dekel, because any brother could say it's the other ones. So Amalei Abayis, Abayis says, Rav Yosef, mi dami, can you really compare the cases? Hasam kol chad v'chad matzi manchilei. In the case of our Mishnah, each one could be docha to the other Bal Hasada. But hacha dikla gabayuhu. But over here, all of them are chayiv of the dekel, to give her a dekel, because all of the entire estate came to all of them at once, and before they ever divided the estate, they owed her a dekel. They went and they divided an estate that included stuff that belonged to somebody else. That's their problem. So Maita Kantai, what should they do? Lisvula Dikla, they should pick a dekel tree, give it to her, Ulahadru Liflugumiresha, and redo the whole chalukah of the estate. They should redo the whole division of the Yerusha, now that they know what the Yerusha actually is, and it doesn't include that dekel. So it's not a comparable case. Now a second case. Ha'uda Amalu, a guy said to his children before he died, Dikla Labras, a dekel is going to my daughter. Shachiv Shavik, Trey Palgi Didikla. He died and he left behind among his nechassim two halves of a dekel tree. Meaning he has not actually halves of a dekel tree. He was partners in two dekel trees. So he was a 50-50 partner in two different dekel trees. So the easiest one for them to give up, for the brothers to give up to the daughter, are those two halves, because that's annoying to be a partner on two dekel trees. Much easier to keep full trees for yourself, where you know you do all the avodah sakarka, you have it in one place. So yes, Rashi with Kakasha. The Ravashi was bothered by the following shaila: Mikar winchu trepadli dikli dikla. Would is that what the father meant when he said a dekel tree? Could he have possibly meant two halves of a dekel tree? Meaning, do two halves make a whole? Alo, or does a person not refer to two halves of a dekel tree as a dekel? So Amalei Rav Mordechai, Ravashi. Mordechai said, Ravashi, Hachi Amar Avimi mehagronya mishmei de Rava kar winchu trepadli dikli dikla. That people do in fact refer to two halves of a dekel tree as a dekel. That is a reasonable thing that we can assume that a person meant. Machlokas Rashi and the Ritva over here. Rashi says, like we just said, that he had many other dekel trees that they could have had to give, and the whole shaila was, are they allowed to push her off to these two halves of a dekel tree rather than giving just this one dekel tree? That was the whole shaila in the Gemara. The Ritva says, no. If he had a dekel shalem, he wouldn't have. It's pashut that he's not giving his daughter two halves of a dekel tree. A stam dekel, a stam sada, stam bayis is a dover shalem, whether it's mecher, whether it's matana, whatever. And therefore the Ritva says, no, all he had was shnei chatzai dekel. And the Yorshim wanted to say, to not give her anything, because they said, yeah, dad said he's going to give you a dekel. He didn't have a dekel. He had two halves of a dekel. And that was their taina. So the answer is, in her favor, that people call two halves of a dekel a dekel tree, meaning that that's what the Yitaka does owe her, that the Yorshim do have to give her those two halves of a dekel tree. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up on the very top of, we finished it off, we'll get to the top of Kuf Yud, Amr Aleph, Hashem. Have a great day, everyone.